7 o'clock. We'll call to order the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting. If we could stand, please, and join Director Gateau in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Can we please get a roll call?
Roll call been taken. Let the record show all members are present. With President Porter joining remotely.
Great. Thank you very much.
She is.
Okay. She is on. Okay, perfect. Okay, so now is the time for public comments. 3 minutes. Please come up and speak about anything that is not on the agenda, any agendized item we cannot speak about. The board will not be able to interact with public comment, but we are listening. Do we have any public comments? Hello.
Hi there. I'm Jules Gazzardo, Vice President of the Discover Bay Lions Club. And we recently had our Paws on Parade event here at the Community Center. And in honor of the dog park, we wanted to present you with this check for $500 to show our appreciation.
Oh, awesome.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Michael, I think you should get up there.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I believe the caveat, though, the money has to be spent on the dog park.
Yes, that would be good.
Do you want to get up there? Did you know that's coming?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for that.
For those who didn't attend, it was a great event. We had the Sheriff's Department out there, so their K-9s. We had hopefully PD out there as well with their K-9 unit. And probably about 50 dogs. So for the first time in 4 or 5 years, it was, a well-attended and a great kickoff for future dog events.
I would agree.
And doggone it, I'm sorry I missed it.
I'm sorry as well. You know, the club was talking about possibly doing this event twice in the year. So, we could maybe have you do that.
Obviously, it was not anywhere near here, but I'm sorry it was bad timing. That's a great event.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Lions Club.
Yeah, that was amazing. Let's get any other public comment?
Yes, I do.
On a non-agendized item?
Yes.
Perfect.
All right, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Roger, head of WAR. I want to thank you for your time today. I'm proud to introduce we're a 501c3 nonprofit that is basically based in Discovery. We were founded in the year 2000, and we're right here locally. ROAR is our resources for older Americans and retirees. Our mission is to create age-friendly communities by 2030. I am also my assistant. We have packets. I'll explain about those in just a minute. I'm the CEO of ROAR. Our knowledge hub includes local board members Marianne Wiesen, Tina Penenez, and our grant writer and executive director, Amanda Doe, who's passing out the campus as we speak. We assist homeowners in building ADUs and accommodate older family members, and we develop low-income housing for older adults and U.S. veterans. We need your help. ROAR has a challenge for the Discover Bay community that is happening now in thousands of other communities around the globe. We have a problem approaching quickly that can be avoided. By 2030, California will have almost 11 million seniors. That's one-third of the population over 65. 67% of Californians 65 and plus state they will not be able to remain in their home or in the community where they live right now. We know removing an older person from familiar support network of friends, family, and community often leads them to isolation, loneliness, and poor health. Here in Discovery Bay, one-fifth of the population is now at retirement age. And by 2030, 11% of our residents will be aged 80 and older. The boomer generation has a great resource of volunteers, spent time with us, and now it's time for us to return the favor. They need our community to rise up and support their unique and challenges as other communities have done. Discovery Bay residents are innovative and resourceful, and not every community has been. This community is facet as finding solutions. So ROAR needs help for all the best minds and knowledgeable resources to solve community problems that are rapidly approaching. We need help finding solutions to adapt our community more accessible. If you look at the packet I just handed out, it's basically a walk audit of the community. many other communities in around the state, around the nation, are doing very similar activities. Just looking for areas that we can improve, you know, that are accessible for seniors, not for seniors, people possibly with disabilities, that, you know, ramp access, that sort of thing. But the biggest thing we need to do is we need innovative solutions to keep everybody active in the community, creating, you know, multi-generational learning opportunities, possibly where we have older teaching younger, that sort of thing, and create, a culture of volunteerism that they had that our predecessors had, and just to keep that continuing on.
That's awesome. I hate to cut you off, but we hit the 3 minute. But
3 minutes? All right.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much.
All right, no problem. But yeah, so look over the packet. We do have more packets to pass out for everybody so that everybody can get involved and do the walk audit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any additional public comment in the audience?
I'll finish off what you were saying.
Perfect.
Those are all essential to a livable community, and Wards Discovery Bay challenges for any and every member of the community, including yourselves, to be an essential part of the plan to make Discovery Bay an age-friendly community by 2030 by helping us conduct this walk audit of every street in town. Walk your own neighborhood or block and use our walk audit packet to identify gaps in our community's infrastructure. Are the sidewalks smooth? Is there street lighting? Are there benches for rest and water fountains? Is there accessible transportation? How about ADA crosswalks? We need solution-minded people who care to help us identify the gaps and learn from your suggestions for all of 17 communities we're currently doing this in. Please take your walk audit and return it by November 15th. If you return it, we will reward you with a bottle of Wars Aging Well wine. For all of the Custer counties we're serving, Wars will submit our audit findings and summary potential solutions and associated costs to the Board of Supervisors, local governments, and planning departments. We will also help these agencies access a variety of funding opportunities that we're already tapped into in other communities. But this effort to complete the Discovery Bay Walk Audit by November 15th will make our town the first community in Discovery Bay to earn the badge of an age-friendly community. And that puts us first in line for a lot of funding that's happening this year and will expire this year. And so we want the money. So no community is better equipped than this one, and our contact information is in the packets. And thank you for your time and participation.
Thank you so much. Any other public comment in the audience? How about online? Any answers?
Hand raised online.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Kirk. Surprise, surprise.
Hey there.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I guess it was a month ago in committee, we had a great presentation from Veolia Energy on how they can help us, get into solar. And I'm just a little disappointed that I haven't seen this move forward yet. I thought they'd be back the next board meeting. They weren't. They're not here today. Months and months are going by, and I would just like to say, can we please light a fire under this and get solar going? That's it.
Great. Thank you very much, Kirk. Any other hands raised?
That is it.
All right. With that, I will close public comment and move to item C, the consent calendar.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a move to approve and in a second. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Brand?
Aye.
Director Guteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion approved. Move on to area agencies liaison reports. Do we have anyone from Supervisor's Office on the phone?
No, there's not.
Okay, move to Sheriff Office report. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. So I'm Deputy Floyd with the Sheriff's Office. I'm filling in for Lieutenant Kez, who is out of the office this week. So for the month of October, I do have statistics reports printed out if anybody would like one.
Sure.
These are the bubbles in these. So for the month of October, the Sheriff's Office responded to 349 calls for service in the County of Discovery Bay. Some of the calls that we responded to are typical calls, juvenile disturbances, some noise complaints, loud party calls, etc. A few of the calls that I did want to just touch up on. There were a couple of vandalism reports. The vandalism reports They appeared to be auto burglaries that were interrupted by the owners of the vehicles. We are getting near the holiday season, so typically during the holiday season, we will see an increase in auto burglaries, mail theft, package theft, etc. But in those two incidences, the owners of the vehicles did confront the suspects, which at the time, it appeared the suspects were possibly armed and brandished what appeared to be a firearm. So I just wanted to remind everyone that if there is an incident of an auto burglary occurring or any type of crime, we ask that everybody just be the best witness that you can possibly be. Get as much detail about the persons, about their vehicles, if you can gather license plate information or the direction of travel that they're fleeing towards. But we don't want to encourage anybody confronting suspects because of the possibility that they are armed and it could escalate the situation. A few of the other reports is we did have some shoplifting incidents from the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. We do have some deputies following up on some of those reports. And then something that I would just bring up because it has been a focal point over about the last week and a half was on the Nextdoor app. There was multiple social media posts about a sexual registrant that had moved into the area. And we were contacted by multiple people who were concerned about the subject and wanted to make sure that we are aware. We are aware of the person. When somebody is a registrant, there are certain criteria that requires them to register under the Section Arson Registry. We have a detective with the Sheriff's Office that is solely assigned to monitor the sex registrants, and it does include compliance checks. At this time, he is in compliance. This doesn't have to do with us, but I was in contact with someone today who had actually got in touch with the property manager, and there might be a civil issue, so he might not be there for too much longer. But as of now, we are aware, we are monitoring it just like we do with every registrant. So I thought I would just bring that up before there might be some questions about it.
So I have a question.
Sure.
Speaking of social media, so I've noticed on Nextdoor mainly lately, there's people who've gotten videos of kids coming up to their houses and, you know, banging on doors, and they've
sure.
got the
yes.
videos, and the, I know they're, you know, underage, so, but has anything become of any of those videos, and has anybody been identified?
So a lot of those videos, what those pertain to is social media itself. A lot of kids will post TikTok challenges, and then it becomes a viral sensation, so other juveniles will perform those same acts mm-hmm. trying to gain popularity. Some of those acts itself will not meet a criminal level. So if we are able to identify any of the kids, we would try to determine where they live, talk to the parents, make sure that the
mm-hmm.
parents are
yeah,
aware
exactly.
of their behavior, and then hopefully that would stop that behavior. As far as a specific incident in Discovery Bay with kids being reported, I'm not aware of
okay.
Any specific incident. But if it is reported and we can't identify them, even if it's not a criminal level,
mm-hmm.
still, I advise everybody to contact us so we can go talk with the parents and hopefully curb that behavior.
Yeah. The people posted that they contacted the Sheriff's Department, but I don't know any details.
It's possible.
It just seems like it's happening more and more often.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming more of a common thing, and like I said, especially TikTok, because on the social media application TikTok, it becomes a viral challenge across the United States. So it starts with a couple of kids, and pretty soon across the United States, you have thousands of kids performing this act to try to gain some popularity. So it's possible in the instance that you're referring to, the deputies were able to identify them and talk to them.
Yeah.
It'll also depend on the information we have at hand.
Thank you.
And then also, I just remembered this as well, just for some traffic enforcement, an update on that. Myself and Deputy Bryant, we did attend a radar slash LIDAR training class at the beginning of the month. So now we are certified in the use of that equipment. The equipment itself is also mandated to be recalibrated every so often. So currently the equipment is being calibrated by a company. As soon as we get that back, we will be able to start using the radar and LIDAR for speed enforcement on Discovery Boulevard and around other areas.
Is that going to be both KA band and LIDAR?
So we have the moving radar and one of the patrol vehicles.
Which is KA band, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're certified in both. And then we have the handheld LIDAR.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So you can, 349 calls a lot.
Just thought I'd ask, no particular reason.
349 calls? Yeah, for our committee archives, just to calibrate a little bit.
I would say it's about average. And with October, especially these last 2 weeks, it's starting to get colder. So typically for the winter months, we start seeing a little bit less calls for service just because a lot less people are out and about because of the cold weather. But crime does still happen. So just like with the auto workers, we always encourage people just to be aware of surroundings. Make sure that you don't leave valuables in plain view in your car. Make sure you lock your cars, lock your houses. Because a lot of things we just happen, we call it crime of opportunity. So we try to prevent that.
What is a parker?
A parker is so when somebody has a complaint about a vehicle that may be sitting on a street for an extended period of time, or for boats or trailers, things of that nature. That's how we'll get routed to call as a parker.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. We'll move on. CHP on the line?
No.
All right. And how about fire? Okay, we'll close then the area agency reports. And is there any MAC?
None tonight.
Perfect. Any presentations?
No, none tonight.
This is going great. Let's have a discussion and possible action item. G1, discussion and possible action item to approve resources for older Americans and retirees. Holiday parade.
Good evening, Board. On March 15th, we came before you to approve the annual events that the board was going to approve for the year. And at the time it was approved, we thought the Lions Club was going to be providing the holiday parade. That has since changed. On October 10th, we received an application from Roar for an event that will take place on December 2nd. At the time that application was dropped off, our recreation manager, Monica Gallo, advised the applicants that we couldn't approve anything until it came before the board. Since that time, we have realized that in previous years, the area where the tent was put up was in an area that's going to be off limits when this event is take place, it should be approved. And that is because the Willow Lake Treatment Filter Project is going to be taking place, and we're going to have vehicles in that gravel lot over there. But what we're offering, should the board approve it, is to have the tent right out here in the first row of parking or on the grass. And if for the porta potties, we'd put those on each end of the parking lot where they could probably put two or three. I'm not sure how many they are going to have for the event. But at this point, this comes before you tonight with all the terms of approval. And I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions from anybody on board?
I'll start. So, event setup. I know because we have an event the night before. It's set up from 4 to 6. That seems awful short because I know in years past, you know, there was, I think, something going to be set up the day before. So, at 4 to 6 is going to suffice.
I think the applicants are confident with the time for setup, and it shouldn't interfere with the event for the night before.
Okay.
Any other clarifying questions from the board?
As I
have a question, Kevin Stein.
Go ahead, Ashley.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask, are we making sure that all, like, county permits are pulled, sheriff permits are pulled? Is there insurance that's going to be required for this?
What we're hopeful that the ward will get those approvals through the county. What we're going to be looking for specifically is the insurance that would cover the town in case there was some kind of mishap on town property, which would be our community center.
Thank you.
The only other thing that I was looking at here, because I have in the past been invited as a VIP into the tent, so I know that I'm just looking at the condition of alcohol. You guys aren't selling alcohol. Sometimes it's provided as part of the hors d'oeuvres for the VIPs.
We stopped providing alcohol a few years ago.
Oh, I was going to suggest that if, as long as you're not buying it, I don't know why we would mind you having it in the tent for your VIPs.
We had an issue with the sponsor drinking too much, so we just said, yeah.
Okay. You know, because you don't need a permit to serve it. That's the only thing that caught my eye was if it was an issue or if it was more convenient. I don't know that I would have a problem with that.
Well, I believe community center rules don't prohibit alcohol.
It doesn't prohibit alcohol on the community center property because we have it here on the community center property.
With a permit from the county?
Because it's being sold.
Right.
I was suggesting in the fact that because it's not being sold, it wouldn't need a permit. You can consume. I don't know, maybe, okay, obviously there's not a rule against consumption because we can have other events where it's consumed. I don't want to get into a big deal. I was just making a suggestion that if they felt like they wanted, I didn't have a problem with it. If other board members do, that's fine. I just.
Okay, can we take a moment and look for any public comment?
None online.
None online? Any in the audience?
Can we take a really quickly? Does anybody answer some of the questions?
You should probably ask one of the answers to your questions as well. But basically, we're the proud sponsor of the 21st Annual Parade of Lights. We're grateful for the opportunity to highlight an age-friendly effort, as I presented earlier, engagement. And I'd like to thank the town staff and CSD and planning department and Amanda for all the assistance we received through the process. For the past 10 years, I've been a safety volunteer for this parade, so I know basically kind of know how it works. I'm out there in the streets, know how to control everything, I understand the challenges it faces, and I'm comfortable managing the responsibility of keeping all the families safe in the scrub away. But basically, our volunteers are set up throughout the city. We have volunteers currently for two for each station out there on the street. We're looking to get four. We're always open for more volunteers, have no shows, that sort of thing. But we have submitted, just to go over, we have submitted permit applications and partnered up with the previous host. So all the permit, everything's been done exactly how it was done in the past. So there's no difference, just that we're kind of taking over that whole process of doing it, the permit process. So if there's any elements, everything, the only thing we haven't received yet is the letter from the fire department. We're actually still waiting for a response. We got the insurance in place, we have everything in place at this time.
Hey, Roger, so I've been involved in this parade as well for many years as a volunteer, so I have a little bit of knowledge, and I've done traffic control for Amanda for a long time. So I wanted to understand what is required as well firsthand, and so I contacted the county and had conversations with them, and one of the items is you have to have an encroachment permit issued by Public Works. When there's a parade being done.
Yes.
And in addition to a encroachment permit, you need to have a street closure permit as well.
Yes, correct.
I spoke with the Public Works, and as of Monday, they've never heard of any requests or any permit applications. In fact, they told me, and again, I'm not trying to cloud the conversation tonight, but if we're having a conversation, I want to make sure that everybody knows what I was told. No one has ever pulled a permit or encroachment permit from the county.
Interesting.
Colorado Public Works. Now, again, if that's not correct, then fine. But in any event, they said the process now is it has to go in front of county supervisors, board approval for approval. And the earliest that could take place is the 28th of this month. So.
Did you talk to Bob Henry? TC's the one who approves our permit each year.
Yeah, he does.
And
I'm sure staff can follow up and double check that.
Information. Are these our copies? There's no smart copies.
If it starts to derail,
Dina has a copy. Yes. Actually, everyone on the parade was sent a copy.
Okay, yeah. So there's something in there. Public Works.
So there's copies of the insurance. There's the we have a trailer with four part bodies on it this year. So if the staff is okay with us just parking the four part body trailer on one side of the tender or the other,
yeah,
that would be, rather than trying to take them off the trailer.
Anyways, to follow up on that, I hope I'm wrong. I only have one question. If you guys don't get the encroachment permit, are you going to still move forward with the parade?
Well, we absolutely have to have it.
You have to have the permit to, gosh, obviously close streets and do everything. We have to have the permit.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do every year. We just never get until the last few days. It's but if you talk to Bob Henry, he'll, and actually, I'm happy to send you previous emails from every year.
Staff's going to follow up on that.
Of course.
I'm just sharing with you the conversation
Please.
I had.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, because I do a lot of stuff with the county as far as planning as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. If you talk to Bob, he's like, he'll be like, I love this every year. So.
I'm done.
I have one last question. Staff had mentioned that at one point some safety cones and things weren't picked up and delivered back to the community center. And so we talk about at the top of page 2, Aurora's responsible for garbage, site cleanup, blah, 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 et cetera, immediately following the event. Do you have a time on that you could share with us? What's it? Because immediate, I know what it is to me, but I don't know what it is.
So we do it the next morning at 7 a.m. I absolutely owned it. Last year, I was a mess. I did not handle everything well last year, and I needed a lot of help. But I've been doing this for 21 years. We have a perfect safety record. I'm back in the game, and I've got this covered.
I have no problem as long as everything's being done the way I'm being told it's being done, and as long as there's an emergency, if the county's aware of the road closure, so if there's an emergency at the far, obviously our concern is our constituents.
Of course.
And as it is for all of us, we're all members of the community. And so that's my only concern is that there are, if the county knows about it, the county has a plan in place. If an ambulance needs to get through, if an ambulance needs to get out, if, you know, traffic control, whatever, if you guys are taking care of it, I got no problem with it. I think the parade's been.
It's fun.
I'm with you. So no, that would be my only comment. It's just as long as everybody's been notified and the proper things have been done, it's been
it's all
you know.
Good.
I'm. Mm-hmm. I won't be driving my truck in it this year, but you know.
Are we going to do more entries? Try the Harley. All
right. Appreciate that. So I'm going to bring it back to the board.
Be a good roar.
Any final comments before we?
Does the tent location work for you?
Yeah.
Good. All right, we'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept approving the holiday parade from the organization called Roar for December 2nd.
Staff recommendation.
I think, if I may.
Jump right in.
I think all we're really approving is the ability for Roar to use our property for their tent and for their, that's all, because we don't have land use authority. So the motion is, I think, if I may, Carolyn,
please, you might,
is that we accept staff's recommendation that the facilities here be used as described in the staff report.
Second.
So just to be clear, is that your amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. We good? Okay. All right. Very good. We have a second. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Couteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye.
Motion carries. Congratulations. Thank you. Action item 2, discussion and possible action to update ordinance number 26, parking restrictions.
Yes. Good evening, Board. This ordinance was initially established in 2014. Time has went by, there's a need to revise it. If you look through your staff report, you'll see that in there is a clean version of the proposed new ordinance, and behind that is the redlined version of things that we've changed. What we're trying to do is, you know, preserve the integrity of our parking lot, our lawn. There's pictures in the staff report that show, you know, vehicles parking on our lawns. You know, we do have irrigation there as well. It's not obviously not good for any electrical that's running through there. So we're looking to come before the board tonight to have this ordinance number 26 updated. And I'll answer any questions.
I believe this did come through Parks and Rec. Am I right about that? This seems so familiar to me.
Yes.
It came through Parks and Rec. Okay. And in Parks and Rec, we discussed that there would potentially be some updated signage, because I think that's the big concern. So is that part of the recommendation here?
Yes. And in fact, on the last page, we'd have the signs that are on the lawn grass area entering the parking lot. It would have this verbiage on it. Obviously, we're going to have a couple. It's going to be a larger sign, but ultimately, it's to let people know that, you know, they have to park within the lines. They can't park in red zones. They can't park on our lawn, and so forth.
That was one of the concerns, was that the rules will change, and they just need to make sure that they're aware.
Yeah. Right, and you know, staff realizes that, you know, there's a learning curve. When this happens, you know, we would, you know, put, you know, pamphlets on people's cars that they would know, hey, you can't do this. Obviously, there would be a grace period, but after a certain amount of time, we would start enforcing it.
Perfect. Any other clarifying questions from the board?
Nope.
Do we have any public comment?
No hands are raised.
Very good. We'll bring it back to the board.
So before any action's taken, being that this is an ordinance procedure is two readings.
Okay.
So tonight is the first reading, so that's why you'll see in your staff recommendation is to introduce and waive the first reading of the Ordinance 26. And that's just a procedural issue, so the action tonight would not be adopting the ordinance, you'd just be waiving the first reading, and at the next meeting you would the ordinance would come back to you for consideration of adoption.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. So if everyone understands, then I will look for a motion to waive the first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Grant.
Aye.
Director Couteau.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Vice President Callahan.
Aye.
President Porter.
Aye.
Great. Then that carries. Thank you. Manager report.
None this evening.
Very good. General manager's report.
I do. I have two exciting things. Well, one exciting thing, one not so exciting thing. So I am working with Veolia on net energy metering aggregation program. We want to get our application in. We did discuss this at a water and wastewater committee meeting, and schedules just didn't align for them to come to a board meeting, but I'm going to be starting to work with them anyways, because this program will result in a 50 to 75% more energy cost savings for us. So I think we should jump on it, get the application process going. So I am going to be working with them, and they'll come back at a later date to give you a full presentation, and we'll give you updates along the way of how the application is going and how it's going. So I just wanted to let you be aware of that. Also, we are closing the district office for the filter project beginning November 6th. There will be no public access to the district office due to this construction of the filter project. Residents needing to pay their water bill may drop off their payment either here at the community center. We will also be putting a drop box outside the gate just in case somebody rolls up and forgets. They can at least put their payment in the drop box. So that's how we'll work through this. This project will probably be starting November 6th. We're kind of starting the project. It's really starting to get going on November 14th. It should move through mid-February, depending on weather. So if we have some, you know, terrible weather, then it'll progress a little bit longer. But I just wanted to give you an update on that.
Perfect. And I know that I've heard this before, but how has it been communicated out to the residents?
Next door, all social media, in our water bills, on our website. I mean, as much as we can do it.
Okay, so it hasn't been communicated.
Yes,
okay,
and we also got giant signs for the district office. I think they're 3x5. But, you know, so
perfect.
We're doing the best we can to get the word out there with all of our outlets. So
I think we got a signboard out front, too, that we use.
Yes, we do have that as well.
Water bill inserts, too.
Yes, so it's in the water bill. We're doing an insert. It's everything.
Awesome. Great.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Director reports. We had a communications committee meeting.
Yes, we did.
Please.
we discussed shadow boxes at Cornell and Ravenswood Park. Shadow boxes being similar to what we have on the wall there, to discuss how to rent a park, any pertinent information to what's going on at the park and anything that's being offered. And then we had a social media update. Very happy to hear, and I guess there's a number of names for this, but our water, wastewater, SMS program, we now have 600 people signed up to get texts if there are any incidents or anything that they need to be made aware of.
I noticed something.
Be very careful with the words that I use.
I noticed something went out on that for the unexpected water interruption, mm-hmm. So that was great.
And then we discussed some additional signage.
Excellent. Parks and Rec also met today. Director Goodell, do you have an update?
Yeah, we had several items that we discussed. We got a... Bill is anxious to start on another project here at Discovery Bay, so he kind of wet our whistle with some potential 2024 projects, one being Discovery Bay Boulevard. So certainly we'll talk about that at length over the next several months. We also talked about the Cornell Park bathrooms. As many of you know, we've had issues with vandalism and other nefarious things. So we looked into possibly doing some security measures, new fencing to secure off the building so people can't just climb in willy-nilly. So we'll be, the Park and Rec Committee is, we'll be bringing that to the board for approval. We'll be looking for somebody to be authorized to help shore up those buildings. And I think it's relevant with the Cornell Park park renovation as well. So timing is good, and I think trying to get those bathrooms out to the public and being utilized is good. What else to talk about? And then Monica presented possibly doing some, speaking of bathrooms, a bathroom model here at the community center. These bathrooms are 13, 14, 15 years old or older. And they need to be brought up to speed with the amount or commensurate amount of usage that this facility is seeing. So, again, we'll be coming back with a request for funds possibly at some point once we get a little deeper, delve into that.
Sounds like it was an action-packed meeting.
It was. Did I miss anything since you were
no,
there?
No. That was a great synopsis. Thank you. Water and wastewater.
You were there.
Yes.
Okay. So water and wastewater was not so action-packed. We didn't have much on the agenda today, but we did three things on the agenda. It was a building update, of which we have none at this point, but we will soon. We were also brought up to speed on the scheduling of the filter project. We're going to have some further in-depth talk about phase one and phase two and how that's going to work. And then we were given an update on well 7, and unfortunately, we're still having some supply issues. Most everything is here, and we think the contractor is going to be able to get in there. There's been some complications with how the pump's going to work and some of the technicalities of it, but hopefully well 7 will be back up and operating soon, but they have not yet technically started that project, correct, Aaron? Fortunately, this time of year is not a high water demand time. We're still not having any issues with the amount of water that we're being produced without well 7, but we're anxious to get it back in service.
And well 7 is on Newport, correct?
It is correct, right there by the bridge.
Thank you.
Awesome, thank you very much. There was a Confire meeting report. Anything to highlight there?
No.
Great, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Awesome. Any correspondence received?
None.
Legal report?
None.
Any future agenda items? All right. Legal, could you assist me in opening the closed session?
Sure. So the Town of Discovery Bay will adjourn to closed session to address the item listed on the agenda as P1. We do not anticipate having a reportable action, but we will report any action coming out of the meeting upon reconvening into closed session.
Excellent. So at this time, we will pause this meeting, go into closed session, and thank you very much. Legal, can we please return to open session?
The Town of Discovery Bay will reconvene into open session. All members were present during the entirety of the closed session. Direction was given, and there is nothing to report.
Thank you very much. And with that, do we need to point out that Director Porter is not part of the...
Director Porter has left the meeting and is not present currently.
Not participating in the adjournment.
That's correct.
Okay, with that, at 8:08, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.